Welcome to Beyond Averages, our weekly data podcast, which looks beyond the big numbers and break down the story for you. In a world fast, US President Donald Trump on April 9 announced a pause on differential reciprocal tariffs for 90 days, instead imposing a 10% blanket duty on all imports. On the other hand, the trade war between China and the US has intensified, with both nations levying over 100% duties on imports. Indian businesses could breathe a sigh of relief, having been subject to 26% duties earlier. But is it a breather, or has the decision created more uncertainties? We have Bipin Sapra, tax partner EY India, and Deepa Kumar, head Asia-Pacific Country Risks S&P Global Market Intelligence, to decode what the pause means for India and how it could impact growth. Thanks, Bipin. Thanks, Deepa, for joining us on the show. Let me take you first to what has happened as far as US tariffs are concerned. Let's go back to our screen here. If you look at it, US waning away from China won't be such an easy equation either, for two reasons, that is. China accounts for over 30% of the dominance in about 8.9% of the total US imports of about $3.4 trillion. So out of these commodities, China had some about 30% or more significance in these, 6.6% in the 40% bracket and 4.7%, nearly 5% if you look at it, in terms of over 50%. Now, what are these items? For instance, if you look at smartphones, China exported 117.2 million worth of smartphones to the US in 2024. India was 15.2 million. That's about a 9 times difference between the two. You look deeper, if India exports its entire smartphone range, which is 60.2 million, it would still be half of what the China exports. And this is not just limited to smartphones, be it laptops, be it carpets, be it other categories, and China has a commanding lead in the Indian market. But let's move on further and see what has happened. Besides commanding a significant portion of the trade, China's dependence on essential items is higher. As we were talking about, smartphones is about 81%, laptops 66%, lithium-ion 69%, toys 76.3%, Barbies and all, monitors about 78.4%, Christmas would also be difficult with about 87.9%, hair dryers 89.6%, tableware and stainless steel kitchen households about 80%. So the dependence on China is quite high as far as the US market is concerned. But what does this mean for the economy, for others in this game? Now, how much of trade can China take away, or India can take away from the US? Let's go back to our experts to understand. Bipin, first to you. With US imposing about 145% or above duties in certain items, how much of a trade can come to India from this?
Chan, thank you first for having me here. I think it's a million-dollar question which a lot of people are asking. It's not a question of how much we can transfer. It's a question of the first question, which is how long is these tariffs going to last between US and China? US also is realizing that the tariffs which it has imposed are going to create a problem. The charts which we saw, I think the US would also be seeing those charts, and they are realizing. They have moved smartphones and related products outside to the exemption list, so China can continue supplying smartphones. They are talking about getting automobiles, some of the automobiles out of there. So it's a difficult decision which is US has put on itself, and so that's the first thing I would want to say. But you are right. India is in a great position for the smartphone, and thankfully I remember some numbers. India has touched $3 billion in exports recently. Apple being obviously being the biggest contributor out there. Obviously, a limited amount goes to US, but we do serve Europe and other markets, and our competitors there are China and Vietnam. And while Vietnam is in the same boat as us today, China continues to the Chinese supply effectively has dried down. So India is in a position to supply a lot of phones to China. If you remember NPE, the National Policy on Electronics, when it came in 2019, the target was $190 billion of phones to be supplied in 2026. Obviously, we don't have those capabilities, but we are in a position to scale up those capabilities. Ultimately, the value added in India is around 10%. So I think that's a specific sector which I'm talking about, but a lot of business can come to India. At least from a US perspective. And everybody is, even if the tariffs go down, everybody is looking at a China plus one policy. And the sentiment is to transfer to a more stable and a more democratic jurisdiction. I'll stop here and then we can.
Deepa, what are the implications of this trade war? Is it good for India? Is it bad for India? Where do we go from here?
For now, in the short term, it's definitely something that it's in an environment of policy uncertainty. So some of the things are still unclear. In the medium term, it would definitely be good for India, taking some from some of the points that even Bipin has mentioned. I think the starting point to mention is there are some bilateral factors, domestic factors in India, and then there are the regional and global factors. What helps India domestically is that growth is still very focused on domestic demand. So that is kind of a buffer for India at a time when the global environment is becoming very uncertain. We have moderated India's GDP growth forecast to 6.4% for this fiscal, but that was, of course, before some of this already started, and we're not expecting too much of a difference to that outcome as such. So that is the first thing. The second is, what are the levers that India has in its negotiation with the US? And there are quite a few. It's not just tariffs. And it's something that we'll talk about in different dimensions going forward, is India is not going to talk to the US just on a tariff-to-tariff conversation. There are other sort of aspects of the bilateral relationship that India is going to bring in, which are helpful. And of course, some of the pauses that are there right now, like for instance, pharma has been excluded for now, energy has been excluded for now. Auto aluminium and steel are going to come under Section 232 reviews later. So there is a lot of running ground for India to negotiate with the US, and that is risk positive for India. And then comes the second factor, which is regional, which is the comparative tariff rate for some of India's competitors are higher, especially Asian competitors like Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia. So speaking about that trade diversification also that Bipin was mentioning, in the medium term, it could mean that some of those opportunities come onto the Indian shore, and the domestic demand then helps India's immediate buffer as well. So I would say it's net positive, but of course, we'd have to see how some of these negotiations pan out over the next 90 days.
Let me take you to another aspect of this thing, because we've been talking about this, right? There's also a fear that the Chinese imports may glut the Indian market, given that they don't find a market in the US, right? So let us see what happens on that perspective. If you look at the world, China's exports are about $772.9 billion, right? To US, in categories where China works, it's about 139.2. These are common categories where India and China both have a 5% share of US exports, right? India's total is about 7.6 in these common categories. 35.9 is what India imports from China in these. So basically, there's about a $40 billion gap here that China could come and fill. But let's be realistic about it. It can't be 40 at least. If you look closer in these categories, there's a $12 billion opportunity for China, at least in India, as far as a few categories are concerned, where its share is less than 30%. Now, it won't occupy the entire market, but it can occupy a certain significant share for sure. For instance, if you look at it in terms of ceramic products, China has a 22.6% share. Right, in terms of vehicles, again 22.6%, nickel is about 9.6%, gems and jewelry 1.8%, animal fats 35%. So there's quite a lot of problems as far as India is also concerned from the other side, as far as glut is concerned. Bipin, coming back to you, is the glut part a concern for India with Chinese goods finding separate markets for India?
So that's the interesting part out there that India was always available as a market to China, still is. The only way, given the its inability to supply these goods to US, it can come to India is if it reduces its prices. Now, as long as the Indian domestic industry is not getting hit, Indians shouldn't be complaining, because these are some of these would be raw materials, things like nickel and others, which we are in any case importing from outside India. But if it's something which is going to hurt the Indian industry, we have necessary safeguards of anti-dumping safeguards and things like that, which we can immediately enforce. The Indian government can immediately enforce to prevent goods from coming to India. So I would say that if India keeps its focus clear, eyes on the goods which are coming to China, they have done so in the past also. And India has been quite vigilant and used anti-dumping and other procedures quite effectively. But anything else which is coming, which is cheapening our production capability, and I think it's a good time for the Indian importers to renegotiate with China, given that they know that they cannot supply to a major market like US. So whatever is already coming in, it's a good time to renegotiate. So there are negatives. Obviously, there would be some things would come in and they would fly below the anti-dumping duty radar. But they would also be a positives for people who are coming to India. So that's from an Indian market perspective. We can talk about other markets as we go along, I think.
Let me get back to Deepa, and then I'll get back to you to talk about other markets as well. Deepa, what does this mean for India in terms of a supply glut? Can that be there? And what does it mean in terms of attracting investments also? Can we take advantage? Should we open up to Chinese investments here so that we can take advantage of this friendshoring that we have?
I think the first thing, Ishan, is India is always worried about a supply glut. There are different sort of troughs and peaks that happen and different world events that sort of expedite or exacerbate the concern, but the concern is always there. It shows in the trade policy that India has maintained over multiple years, of course. In terms of what is happening currently, there are two parts to the supply glut. One is, of course, the other side of India having domestic demand as such a strong driving factor is that it does make India kind of a conducive market for other countries to want to export more strongly to India. So for that sort of end user, that is something where we think the government is going to be focusing on. And so we don't expect a broad-based tariff reduction to happen, because that would then directly make, you can't just do it vis-a-vis the US. You'd also have concerns from not just China, but then also Indonesia, Vietnam, some of these other ASEAN countries that I mentioned. The other is leading to the part that you were saying, is that India also wants to become more integrated in global supply chains, for which it needs to be a part of a chain where something is also coming into India, has some value addition. Smartphones is a great example of that, and then gets exported outwards. That, especially in Indian industrial policy that we're seeing through production-linked incentive schemes, they would continue. And I would think that is something the government is likely to expand in 2025 and beyond as well. So there, of course, the openness to investment, and there are other levers the government can use to decide where is that investment being encouraged from, how do you support domestic development versus what is coming from abroad. But it's primarily through that route of tariffs that we don't see a sort of step change in Indian policy anytime soon, given the concerns that not just from China, but even from other countries, there could be a kind of diversification that is happening towards the Indian market.
Bipin, you were talking about the other markets as well. We have a graph here that explains some part of that. Now, this is how trade has changed over the last few years between India and China. So if you look at it, China's share in India's trade has grown from somewhere around 10.8% in 2013 to 18.2% in 2022-23. Right, Indonesia's share has gone up from 3.2 to 3.3%. 6%. Southeast Asia as a whole has grown from 7.1 to 8.5. And look at here, Vietnam has grown from 0.6 to 1.4. If you look at it in common categories, China has grown about only $300,000, $300 million in terms of these categories, where these countries have gained about $10 billion. So if you look at it, there is a chain that is shifting to Vietnam also. Steel and aluminium tariffs were the classic example, where Vietnam has become the 10th largest exporter from being nowhere in 2018. Solar panels is another category. Where do the other countries fit into this? And should we look at investments from China as well now that the market is turning towards friendshoring?
I think these are interesting questions, and what you have to realize is that the Chinese pie, it's not only India, but all of these countries which are vying for that pie. You'll also have to see that China itself will be trying to supply in other markets which are where they do not have any restrictions, and would try to take up what India has been supplying or other Asian countries have been supplying. So it's going to be a full-fledged, I wouldn't say a trade war, could be, but at least a very interesting competition out there in terms of tariffs, in terms of pricing, which goes around. The chart you put up, I think it's amply clear that the other countries are definitely going to put their best foot forward, and there might be more nimbleness, especially Vietnam. We have seen a lot of investment come in, and a lot of manufacturing happening and exports happening. And when we look at our disability vis-a-vis Vietnam, we see we are from a perspective of the benefits which manufacturing company gave, we are the disability is around 10 to 12% in our case, 17 to 19% in case of China. So that's there. The other thing is that a lot of investment would be going from China to these countries, because if they are going to export from these countries, it would be they have they there is a lot of investment already gone in. The amount of value add which is happening in these countries is also something which India would be worried about, given that these goods do find their way into the Indian market, and would also find a way into the US market. So there would be this all of this play. So if investment is going to come in, why should India lose out on that? As long as all other security and other concerns of India are satisfied, I would be open to taking investment from China or anywhere else.
So now, because we were talking about this, what do you think, Bipin, which sectors can benefit from this entire milieu that has happened?
That's a tough one, but see the I think what you have to see, which sectors is India aggressive about, which is it trying to export? Textiles is one, pharmaceuticals is second, food processing, smartphones and electronics, engineering goods, leather, footwear, toys. So all of these are where India is trying to gain a foothold in the world market, trying to manufacture all of these. And these are the top 10 commodities which I have listed out, where we are the exporters to most of the things. Where we would gain is, see, if India, China, and I'm assuming that, given that if the tariffs were to be there, then there were comparative advantages which India would have had, especially say from a textile perspective, which is a huge area of concern for us also, because our exports haven't grown the way they should have. So if India gains vis-a-vis Vietnam and Bangladesh, it's really a happy situation. And even China, wherever the Chinese goods are being supplied. But if we are, and pharma, we already have a stronghold. If China doesn't impact us, then if the like if the textile if the pharma is left alone, then we already have a huge chunk of the US market. My view is around 40%. So those things would continue to grow. What we need to be thing is, what is going to get hurt, as we were reading in the paper today, that with the rare earth ban coming on US, would India actually get impacted? Would there be a flow of to the nascent chip industry which India is trying to get into? And that's huge, because we need the chips. We already were at a disadvantage because we are not able to manufacture laptops and iPads, which we want to manufacture. Smartphones are still better off. So That's in my view are the areas where which would be of interest to India.
It's interesting you talk about what we can take away from our neighbors. So now I don't have a graph for this, but I can explain in this manner because we did a story about this. You look at Bangladesh, right? And about 974 million worth of textiles, we get an opportunity if the tariffs are differential. Right now, it's all flat 10%. From Pakistan, we have about 500 billion worth of 500 million worth of opportunity. Sri Lanka, we have about 200 million. So there are opportunities there for sure that we can take away. But right now, the tariffs are a flat 10% for everyone except for China. Now, I remember hearing this story that there's a man who was told by a soothsayer that your leg will be mauled off by a tiger. Now, the thing was that he slept through, he went home and he couldn't sleep for days altogether. Ultimately, he went to a tiger cage and put his leg there. The person asked him, the zookeeper, "Why are you doing this?" And the person said that, "I can't deal with the uncertainty anymore." My question to you, Bipin and Deepa, is can the businesses deal with the uncertainty? Had the tariffs been there 26%, we would have known what to do. Now it's 10%, it could go up to 26%, it might go up to zero also with a bilateral trade. So what's there for businesses and what's there for economy? Deepa, let me go to you first. What's there for economy with so much of uncertainty, and what does it do to our goal to grow at 7% plus and to become Viksit Bharat by 2047?
That's a very interesting sort of segue to the question there, Ishan. But definitely, I think one of the things that India is considering, right, is like I said at the beginning, the domestic market for India is always going to be one of its strongholds. There is a kind of buffering that gives India. The second is some of these relationships that India wants to develop. So while you're speaking about, the tariff being one of the factors and that it is flat right now, there are other kind of levers that India wants to bring to the table. The second is, I mean, one of those is, of course, the kind of environment to operate that India wants to give. Second is, how do you bring in tariff and some of the strategic competition factors, or the fact that India wants to develop strategic relationships with some of these countries? So it's not just about finding the most conducive and the most profitable environment. One of the ways that we're seeing a lot of companies want to take out the uncertainty is they want to work in markets where the governments can be trusted, the policy environment can be trusted, and there are sort of other avenues available for them to conduct business without without some of the concerns that are navigating. So some of these countries that you mentioned, we also have to look at the domestic environment of those countries and see where India can position itself as having comparative advantages. And the third, and that is something, which ties even to the previous question that Bipin and you were discussing about, is what are India's strengths? I think so much of this conversation, both within India, globally, everywhere, is focused on trade and goods. And definitely, it is one of those where we've seen that some of the conditions that the US is talking about is with countries where the US has a deficit in trade and goods, India being one of those. We're kind of missing the picture on trade and services, which is a big strength for India. So yes, while India is building that manufacturing muscle, more than 50% of Indian GDP is still services. And it's likely to remain that over the next decade, especially in the run-up to 2047, the goal that we've set out. So it's also about expanding that. It's also in some of these trade agreements, like before this, we were talking about India-EU, India-UK, India with some of the other countries in ASEAN and some of the countries in Gulf. Is how does trade and services become a bigger factor for India and some of those? And that then, of course, has sort of linkage effects positively, which come back home.
Got it. Bipin, over to you. What do corporates do in such environment? We've been talking about private capex growing and everything, but does this environment help private capex at all?
Yeah, I think I'll look at it from a different perspective. In my view, it is beneficial for both India and US to sign a BTA, the tariff agreement. Now, once and what we are hearing is that the negotiations are on, should have something in place in the next 3 months, may end is something where we might have a conclusion to the first level of talks. I would be very hopeful that reciprocal tariffs in their present form will not come in. What will come in or may come in is the 10% seems to be there for stay. But What is also going to come in is that when we negotiate, we are going to give up tariffs on a lot of commodities on the Indian side. That means the Indian industry should be ready. And whatever is being given up has been with the discussions with the Indian industry only. So the government has reached out to all the associations. And I think there's been a great conversation out there. So the Indian industry is fairly aware as to what is there on the negotiation table from reducing their own tariffs. So it's a time to look at that, look to build on whatever is going to come and predict that within a reasonable range of certainty and plan for that. So there would be some markets which would be available. India, China, US, China is something which nobody can predict. Those are there which should be kept away. But India is going to see some goods coming in from US. They are going to give up the tariff. And if a zero for zero tariff gets accepted for certain commodities, we'll still end up with a lot of differential benefits vis-a-vis our trading neighbors or trading competitors. So I think we need to look beyond what has happened. We need to plan for 3 months down the road where there may not be as much tariffs, but there might be comparative advantages.
Got your point. I believe not to go too much Game of Thrones, but chaos is an opportunity, I believe. So,
Absolutely.
thank you, Deepa. Thank you, Bipin, for being there for us on the show. Now, Trump's tariff pause has put the world in limbo again, with the US president mulling new exemptions and tariffs every day. Will the uncertainty hurt India or create more opportunities? And what does it do to Viksit Bharat goals and our plans to grow at 7% plus rates? Thanks for watching our weekly feature. We'll be back next week with new news and analysis. Thank you.